I'm wrestling, do not weep for me. Celebrate what I am. Celebrate what I have been. Celebrate what I represent. And celebrate the many ways I have impacted your life. I will survive this test as I have survived others. I am forever etched into the very fiber of all mankind. The world needs me. Time is on my side. History guarantees me. I am wrestling. Do not wait for me.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 106 of the T-Roll and Funky Show, brought to you, as always, by Defend Soap. Defend what you have built. And Dahlemer Wrestling Mats. Tommy, I was talking to our Dahlemer guy, and they said they're kicking butt and taking names this year. So, anyone wants a Dahlemer
mat? That's awesome.
Give them a shout.
I think it's probably because of the sponsorship of the podcast.
Well, I mean, that couldn't hurt. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and I've been putting them in some Facebook videos, everything else. But generally speaking, they do a good job. You know what? I'm going to compliment you guys, Tommy. You know what people care about more than almost anything these days?
What's that?
Well, let me see if you know your own product first. What do people care about?
Quality and service.
So, okay, I was thinking service. Customer service.
Yeah.
And Dahlemer's been really good with every, you know, even if we had a few small issues, they fix it. If you have a small issue and someone fixes it, that almost engenders more good feelings than if it was just good in the first place. You know what I'm saying?
And I completely agree, and we're kind of getting to a business talk, but
that's fine.
I completely agree. And if Dahlemer does it that way, that's great.
Yeah.
I feel that way when conflict resolution, man.
Yeah.
And if you can resolve conflicts in an adequate fashion, sometimes it's better than no conflict at all.
Yeah, I mean, well, especially when they're not getting it from other places. I know I've had that same comment on Rudis from a bunch of my AWA members. You know, if there's an issue, they always solve it quickly and fair, and that's gigantic, because when people don't get treated fair and they don't get things in a timely fashion, they get freaking annoyed.
No doubt, brother.
Okay, let's talk. So, Tommy, you and I are going to have a very heated debate next week on Freestyle versus Folk Style. I'm not sure what context we're going to quantify it in, but we have to talk about the U.S. Open this week because we don't want the U.S. Open to be a week and a half old.
Let's get the Open in because we need to. It's a current event. It's one of the nation's toughest tournaments, and so we got to cover it. And then next week, you and I are going to let it rip and have the age-old debate on what style is better.
And I'm going to kick your ass, Tommy.
Listen, here's the deal. And we need to tell our listeners this. You like freestyle and I like folk style, but if there's a gun to your head and you had to pick one, you pick folk style. Gun to my head, I pick one, I'm picking freestyle. And that's the premise of the discussion.
Yeah.
And you're going to get your ass kicked.
There's no way.
It's not going to be close.
It's impossible.
Time, history. There's a lot of things on my side.
Well, we will see. We will see next week. So U.S. Open, general feelings.
You're saving your bullets.
Of course I am.
Saving your bullets. Listen.
I'm not letting you. I'm not pulling back the cover.
I know what type of gun you're picking. I know what type of bullets you're picking.
I might already have
you're going to hide behind.
I already know the whole thing, in your camp. You don't even know.
Yeah. Mitch Clark. Yeah. Every time I say something to Mitch Clark, and you can tell him I said this, just so you know, every time I say something to him about this, I know it's going to you. I know it is. And it doesn't bother me. I told him the heat you're going to bring because I knew that he would tell you. And I know that that's the heat you're still going to bring, even though I said it's what you're going to bring.
It's a double cross.
Yeah, I'm triple stamping a double stamp. I'm doing everything I got to do. You're going down. It's gonna be a showdown, man.
Huh. Okay. So let's get to this U.S. Open. It's the first one I've been to, I think, in 4 years. Man, I could not believe how much wrestling was going on there. I mean, Tommy,
yep.
I think there was 30 mats. I don't think I've ever seen so many damn mats laid down. And they had about 17 different tournaments going on all at the same
yep.
time. It was chaos.
No doubt. I mean, I haven't been there for a while, but, you know, I wrestled in probably 7 or 8 U.S. Opens. And, yeah, man, I mean, you know, quite honestly, you were there, and we haven't talked since, but, you know, I think it was probably the most watered-down U.S. Open that I can recall.
Yeah, and Daniel Cormier said the same thing. But, Tommy, you know the one thing that you, both you and Daniel are, I believe, not considering, among other things, but the main one, this is our first year with 10 weight classes. And if you think for a while, we were down to 6. So if you condense 10 weight classes into 6, and then you expand back to 10, naturally you're going to be saying, wow, these aren't as tough. But it's very arbitrary, because if you put these same 10 weight classes back into 6, you're probably saying, holy crap, these are some ridiculously tough brackets again.
I think there's some merit in that, because we are also, in the same breath that I thought it was a watered-down U.S. Open, I think American wrestling is in the greatest state it's been in decades. And so why would it be perceived as watered down if we're as deep as we've ever been? The only guys that were missing were Gwiz,
Burroughs, Green, and Dillman. All of the world medalists except Jaden Cox, because he moved weight classes, obviously.
Yeah, so you're missing 4 or 5. Our top 4 or 5 best were not there. Everybody else was. And so, you know, Ben, I'll give you some credit, man. I didn't consider that fact as to why it was watered down.
And, you know, it's huge, Tommy. And we were discussing this when we were talking about the greatest wrestlers ever. Remember that? And we said, you know, John Smith wrestled 136. Well, you know, John Smith, if he's competing in 2016, he's going to have to go 125, which he probably can't make, or 143, which is going to, you know, he could still win there, but he's going to be a disadvantage given that 136 is his best weight class. And, you know, I think there could be, I mean, Kyle Dake is probably the ideal example of a guy who is just stuck in the middle. He's got the greatest wrestler of all, American wrestler of all time at 74 kg. He's a little too big for that weight class. He can't go down to the next one. And the one above it is 26 pounds.
Yep. No doubt.
So, I mean, that...
No doubt.
Yeah. And then, obviously, so all of our, none of our world medalists were there. And then there were... And the NCAA champions are already qualified for the trials. If they choose to go. And then there's a few other qualifiers. The one thing that I found interesting, Tommy, and I was thinking about this, and then I realized, oh, my God, it's all Penn State guys. It feels like Penn State is punting this year, which I didn't know you could do at the U.S. Open level. But, listen, Zane is not competing, right, at all.
Is that a fact? I know he's got a clinic on May 20th, which would imply that he's not competing, but do you know for a fact, other than that clinic posting?
I guess I do not, but I'm going to go ahead and assume he wouldn't advertise something that he's not going to be at. That would be silly. Nolf is not competing. Mark Hall has no way to qualify for the trials. And I've heard Bo Nickel is also not competing. So that's, like, very interesting that none of those guys are wrestling.
It is. And, you know, it could mean a lot of things. You know, you could, you know, I think Kale is obviously intelligent, and he could be saying, hey, here's the deal. Next spring and summer is the pre-Olympic year, and you're going to want to hit the scene in the pre-Olympic year more than you're going to want to this year. So you're going to go all next year in the folk style season. You're going to want to hit the pre-Olympic year next year.
Yep.
Then you're going to have the folk style season. So take some time off now, because when September comes for the college season next year, you're not going to stop for 2 consecutive years.
Yeah. I mean, you know, one thing I think about with Zane, because obviously that argument doesn't hold with Zane because he's graduated. You know, I've heard that Zane is really going to struggle to make 143 with the new 2-day weigh-in. And the 2-day weigh-in changes it a lot. I mean, you know, that day before one-time weigh-in versus a 2-day weigh-in, that probably is going to reduce the amount of weight you want to cut by, say, 5 to 8 pounds. You know, if you want to compete effectively.
Oh, yeah.
And
no doubt about that. I never really considered that with Zane. I guess I'm surprised to hear that he'll struggle. He didn't appear to be a huge 49 to me.
Yeah, that's what someone told me, and I would have felt the same way as you, Tommy. So then it's like he's either got to shrink down to 143, you know, shrink his body, or he's got to, if he can't make it, he's going to start putting on mass because the next weight class above 143 is 163.
He can't do that. No way.
That's what you're saying.
There's no way. There is no way that dude can go 74 kg.
But
no
what if he can't make? What if he can't make 143?
I think he's gonna have to make it. He's just gonna have to figure it out.
But
then
what do you
say?
What do you say about James Green?
James Green got the same problem.
Yeah, I know, it sucks. This is what we're talking about. I mean, if James Green's weight class is a weight class in the Olympic Championships, and he can reel off a whole bunch of world and Olympic medals, he's gonna be one of the greatest American wrestlers of all time.
Did you just say Olympic championships?
What do you mean?
You said the Olympic championships.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Well.
Anyways, we'll give you a pass. You've earned it.
Okay. So you know, if James Green can reel off a bunch of world and Olympic medals, he's gonna be considered the best of all time. Shut up. But, you know, with Burroughs in front of him, and he couldn't make 143 on the previous system, he sure can't make it now. He's never going to make an Olympic team.
Nah, he's in a tough spot, man. There's no doubt about it. It's sad. It's sad. Why we have six Olympic weights, I don't know. But you know, credit to the UWW for going to 10 for the non-Olympic years.
Because 10 weight classes is so much more fair when you consider...
Here's an interesting question, though, Ben.
Yeah.
And I've never really heard a good answer. We have six weight classes in the Olympics, but we have four medals, which is 24 medals. We can go to eight weight classes and pass out three medals, and we still have 24 medals. And I feel like the Olympic Committee makes these decisions based on medal count, not weight class or participant count, if I'm
yeah,
not...
No, but yeah, you're 100% correct, but you know why they do it this way, right, Tommy?
The countries, they want the random countries to get medals.
Yeah, it's the same reason why they do unseeded, unbalanced bracket, which is about as stupid as it gets, and it's actually totally contrary to what the Olympic movement should be about, which is rewarding the people who are best at what they do and have put the most effort into it. Not getting some lucky jabroni getting the easiest out of the bracket because number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 are on the other side, and he gets a medal.
Could not agree more. And here's the thing, is you're going to try to use that against me next week in our debate, and that has nothing to do with freestyle wrestling.
Okay, I will use it against you. It absolutely does. That is not the debate we're having right now.
Okay, keep going.
It was perceived as a weak U.S. Open by yourself, by myself. Daniel Cormier was commenting it on Twitter.
I think Ben, you validated to me that my opinion was somewhat false because I misled myself because
there are
10 weight classes.
10 weight classes, big
you know,
difference.
You see people getting first and second and third. Our four or five absolute best guys were not there. So that's part of the reason. But I think a bigger reason why I perceive it to be watered down is that there's more weight classes, which means that you've got guys you wouldn't be used to thinking of as U.S. Open finalists and top four guys doing it. So you think it's watered down, but it's kind of not. It's kind of not.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. Hey, can I give a shout out real quick? Because I'm trying to look up the senior men's freestyle rankings, and I just saw something on themat.com. You mind if I give a shout out?
Give it out.
My longtime college roommate for, I believe it was 3.5 years, he just got named the head coach at Fontbonne University in both men's and women's wrestling. And they just added both those sports. So that's a great thing.
Who's the roommate? Who is he?
His name's Amon Prater. He's from Georgia. Wrestled for the Missouri Tigers.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
That's awesome, man. Congrats to your bro.
Fantastic. So I'm just looking through the rankings here, Tommy, and seeing who wasn't there besides our world medalists. So obviously, in addition to the world medalists, Kendrick Maple was not there. And I actually talked to him. He said he's taking a year off to kind of bulk up for that 143 weight class. Zane, obviously number one, wasn't there. James Green, world medalist, wasn't there. Yeah, at 154, Tommy, Nolf, who, okay, Green's number one, Molinaro's two, he was there. Nolf at three, Lewis at four, Rochelle at five were all not there. So number six, Jason Chamberlain, won the title.
So there's some watering down right there.
Yeah, and then so, yeah, and at 163, Burroughs obviously was not there. Vallemont takes second, and he's number two, number ranked number two. Imar's number four. Nazar had a slight injury. He's number three, was not there. Gant at five wasn't there. Marsteller at six was not there.
So Valencia, it is watered down.
Valencia at seven was not there. Joseph at eight was not there. Marinelli at nine was not there.
So it was watered down.
Well, I don't think it was watered down. I think these dudes didn't show up.
Well, that's watered down.
Well, watered down, I feel like, means – watering down, the phrase watered down means a bunch of crappy people show up, so there's less tough people. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
either way.
We're getting to the chicken and the egg thing, because since the tough people didn't come, it was watered down, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what else to tell you.
Yeah. Okay, you're correct. So I guess some of those guys are probably – I know Gant's already qualified for the trials. I know Nazar's qualified for the trials. I don't know that Marsteller –
Well, let's talk about why it was slightly watered down. And I don't disagree, and I don't disagree, and I don't dislike the notion that we've placed emphasis on the final X and the qualification system. In fact, it remains to be seen if it was a success or not. And I don't dislike the road that we're trying to go down here. But yeah, let's be honest, either. The reason it's watered down is because the incentive and emphasis on what winning U.S. Open gives you is also watered down.
Well, at certain weight classes, it was not. At certain weight classes, it was huge, Tommy. The non-world medalist weight classes, it was gigantic. And I guess, you know, when you talk about that, a weight like 134, number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, they were all there, right? Because the winner of that weight class sits all the way till Final X.
Right.
So,
that's
in certain weight classes... 143, similar thing. Most of these guys were there except BJ Futrell and Yanni because he's hurt, but the rest of those dudes were there. So in the non world medalist weight class, they get a bye all the way to Final X, whereas everybody else goes to the Trials Challenge Tournament and wrestles off for the opportunity to wrestle them.
Okay.
So, yeah. So I guess...
Well,
it depends on can you get a bye or not. That's what it depends on.
Yeah, so if it's not a bye weight class because there's a returning medalist, then what we saw was a mass exodus of contenders competing.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, exactly.
So we should create a way of making sure that the contenders have to wrestle at the Open at least.
Well, I think that in the world medalist weight class, I believe the U.S. Open champion gets a bye to the finals of the trials, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
And in other weight classes, there is no bye to the finals of the trials. So everyone knows what we're talking about with the Final X, at the Final X, there's one person in every weight class in there. It's either the U.S. Open champion or previous world medalist. And then... everybody else is thrown into that pool at the Trials Challenge Tournament, which is now 2.5 weeks away. The champion of the Trials Challenge Tournament will then wrestle who's ever sitting in the finals and waiting. Is that fair?
Got it. Yep.
Okay. I don't know. Have we talked about any matches yet? Or we just kind of been talking about the tournament in
general? Not a single match, my brother.
Okay. Well, let's go from the top. 125, 57 kg. Not a lot of the best people showed up. Gilman obviously has a bye till Final X. Spencer Lee was sitting out till trials. I think those are the two really good ones that people are excited to see how they match up. Nathan Tomasello obviously has the torn ACL. He'll be out till next year. Ramos beats Fix in the finals. Ramos did less than nothing. I was frustrated by it. Well, it's true. The only
you love Iowa guys.
He's not. He's a North Carolina guy now, Tommy.
I know.
But his one score was off Fix's snap. He got to a low angle and got an exposure. But besides that, Dayton was significantly more aggressive. And, man, I would agree
with that.
I felt like Ramos should have got put on the shot clock like four times.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I thought, I mean, and Fix had a great tournament leading up to that point.
Absolutely.
Not to say that Ramos didn't. Ramos wrestled well. He was cagey. He was game. But, you know, when you watch that match, you know, I don't think much was decided at all.
No, not at all.
So
at the trials, at this weight class, we're likely going to get Dayton Fix versus Spencer Lee finals. And then they'll wrestle Tony Ramos 2 out of 3. The winner of that will then take on Thomas Gilman at Final X.
That's right.
Boom.
This Final X, I got to be honest, this Final X, by the time it gets to the point where we're down to two guys, it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are thrown off, and the way it's been presented is slightly confusing. But I agree, Tommy, and I was, you know, I was in favor from the jump when they were discussing this. And I just think there's not a wrestling tournament on planet Earth right now, Tommy, where they can do, you know, like a pre-fight interview or a hype video about who's wrestling. Because previously at the open of the trials, you don't know who's going against each other in the finals. It all gets determined in one day. Or, you know, previously it got determined in one day. So they can't even build any excitement. So when, you know, we get weeks of hype build up to Dayton Fix versus Thomas Gilman or Spencer Lee versus Thomas Gilman. We're going to be excited about that.
The build-up's going to be great. The build-up's awesome. Going to be great. People are going to stream that. It's going to be good.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, 61 kg. This is a weight class where everybody showed up because there was a bye to the Final X. Man, a lot of Tommy in this bracket. So many good people got knocked out early. You know, before there was, and that's like we talk about it being weak, but Cody Brewer got knocked out without placing. John Morrison, Johnny DeJulius, Alan Waters. I mean, the amount of people who got knocked out of this bracket before placing was freaking amazing. Dardanes.
Yeah, wow.
Corey Clark. Can you believe it?
Wild. No, it was a heck of a tournament, and what a finals match, huh?
Yeah, I actually I'm gonna give myself a pat on the back here, Tommy. I said I was sitting with one of our high school kids, and they said, "Who do you got?" And I said, I'm so split because Garrett Nashawn can be so great at sometimes and so terrible at other times. And he has a great first minute and a half, and he's about to double leg Cologne to his back, and I'm thinking, okay, 14-4, this thing's over. And somehow he manages to get thrown to his back out of it. And then from there, it was all downhill. It really was. It was bad.
Right. 15-12, though, that's pretty exciting match.
No, I mean, 20-13.
What else can you... Oh, shows what I know. For some reason, I remember...
It was 16-13, and he tried to throw right at the end.
Yeah. Outstanding. I mean, that's what we need. But, yeah, I mean, Nashawn, where's he training at now? Is he at Arizona State?
He's at Arizona State. Yep, exactly. I just don't know, like, you know Cologne's got a great chest lock or chest wrap situation. How do you put yourself in there multiple times where you're putting yourself in harm's way? And what I would say is fairly unnecessarily. You know, he was up big. Yep. He didn't need to keep going to those situations.
Right.
So.
Right. No, it was I was a little surprised. I mean, I do know what you're saying, Eric, but going into that match, I would have thought he would handle him.
Yeah. And then the other big one in that semi was I think this was match of the tournament. But sometimes we get confused as wrestling fans, Tommy, and think just because they're scoring points means it's a great match. Sometimes that is true, okay? But that would also be like saying the NBA All-Star Game is the best basketball game of the season. But no one's playing freaking defense. And you would never, no one would ever make the argument that that's the best game of the season. They would make the argument that the playoff games that mean everything, where everyone's playing hard on every single second, that's the best game, right? Right. So Neshawn Garrett wins 18-13 in the semis over Seth Gross, but this one actually was a great match.
Yeah, I thought that match was more exciting than Garrett and Cologne, in my opinion.
Agreed. Totally agreed. So if you guys want to go back and watch a couple matches, I think the first one I would stop by for the U.S. Open would be Neshawn Garrett versus Seth Gross. That was a fantastic match. Okay, 65 kilograms. My man, Jaden Ironman, went to upset early over Logan Stieber. What'd you think about that? You pissed?
I was pissed. I mean, Logan came off a pretty darn good World Cup. And, you know, Ironman, who is a great college wrestler, I mean, Ben, if you tell me you saw that coming, I'm going to freaking tell you you're full of you-know-what.
I didn't see it coming.
What?
I did not see it coming.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. And, you know, it's tough loss for Logan. But, man, I mean, Ironman is showing up. He's game. I liked his interview afterwards, too. And he just believes in himself. And, yeah, I mean, he's tough. He's tough in that chest wrap, chest lock position. And even if he's not using that position, just knowing that he's good there keeps the match a little bit stingier than most people would want it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. You absolutely have to be careful with him because he's dangerous from so many situations. And he can pin you, right? And that adds an element of danger. It's not like you're going to have 2 points, the damn match is over. So you really got to kind of mind your P's and Q's against him.
You know what's interesting is phenomenal win by him. And it's funny because Joey McKenna, who wrestles in the same room as Logan and is not quite as accomplished, he wrestled the perfect type of match I would wrestle against Ironman.
Yeah. I mean, McKenna keeps proving me wrong. I'm annoyed. I thought he was stalling a little bit. You didn't agree with me.
Listen, I don't agree with you. I don't agree with you at all.
Well, he was stalling, Tommy.
First of all, he scored 7 points and his opponent scored one. That's point number one.
Was defensive.
Point number two, Ben, he was in on the legs. In on the legs 5-plus times in a 6-minute match. How do you stall when you're in on the leg 5-plus times in 6 minutes?
Because Jaden was trying to give him the leg to score off him, and then McKenna would
just
chase out.
Well, Jaden should be giving him the legs. That's Jaden's problem, not Joey McKenna's.
Well,
I'm saying is he
wasn't actively working to get there. He was just giving it to him.
What are you saying to me right now?
McKenna was stalling. That's all I know.
So the shot that Ironman gives McKenna does not count as action for McKenna. That blows my mind.
Just
that counts as
match.
Action
you
for
know
Ironman?
Stalling, Tommy.
Oh, my gosh. Anyways, it was a good match. You know, Ironman is he's good in maybe not so many, but he's very good in a couple critical freestyle positions. The chest wrap, leg attack, defense position he's so good at. And I think he's going to have a great freestyle career. But what he's got to learn how to generate his own offense.
I agree.
Because when McKenna got that lead and McKenna stays in that really low stance, which I think sometimes gets perceived as stalling, he's just in the perfect wrestling stance, literally the perfect wrestling stance. Ironman had no answer for it.
You're right.
I mean, he was tapping the front of the head and taking a shot with no setup. And he got really, really frustrated. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
And if Ironman can do that, if he can get past the hands and head, which is a big if for a lot of people, but if he can get past the hands and head on his leg attacks, with all those other freestyle skills he's got, he's going to be a freaking force on the world level.
Agreed.
Okay.
So McKenna stalled is our final, that's our final conclusion.
Oh, my God. Anyways.
Okay. 154. This is a weight class where nobody showed up or not that many people of the top-ranked guys. Chamberlain looks good. He beats Frank Molinaro in the semis. He beats Hayden Hidley in the finals. And I think this is his first U.S. Open title.
I mean, I think so. I mean,
yeah. I will tell you, I was really happy. Troy Steiner, I got coached by him for a year when I was in high school. He's at Fresno State his first year. The average 4,500 fans, the first year, and they have two U.S. Open champions in Joe Colon and Jason Chamberlain. So that's, you know, fantastic on his part.
I'm embarrassed to say that I didn't know that both of those guys train at Fresno until you just said that. And, Ben, that is unbelievably impressive.
Very. And I mean, for year one, come on, man. That's great.
That, no doubt, man. And, and you would think he can really leverage that in recruiting on the West Coast.
Yeah, I mean, he better be, yeah. He needs to, absolutely. So they're going to have to go through James Green. Neither one of those guys will sit to Final X. They're going to have James Green in the finals there. And I wouldn't be surprised to see, I think a few more people are going to hop into that bracket. You know, Nolf was out. But they're trying to get Jordan Oliver into that bracket, although he was suspended till like, yesterday. That's true.
You think Oliver would wrestle that bracket, not 143?
Well, he moved up last year for a significant amount of things. So, maybe?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. He was. I remember he wrestled Chimizu at 154. He wrestled a few other things at 154.
Gotcha.
So, maybe.
Okay.
63, obviously this is a Jordan Burroughs weight class, but man, Isaiah Martinez was as dominant gets. He goes from the first round, he goes 10-0, 1 minute, 10-0, 51 seconds, 10-0, minute 18, 10-0, 2:58, 10-0, 120. I think,
obviously, Jordan Burroughs is the man. But when you look at Imar's future, independent of who he's got to beat, you know, his body type and his style throughout his college career was tailor-made for freestyle, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, he's not great. He's not bad on top and folk style, but it's not a position, you know, he's not a Zane Rutherford type. He's good off bottom, but, you know, yeah, you're right. He's built for freestyle, can control space, control position, score, defend.
Yeah, he's got great. The other thing, too, is that he's got this great, like, hydraulic low back hip strength.
Yes.
Which
absolutely,
I think, pays huge dividends in freestyle because he can stop the chest lock croc slip positions.
Yes.
He can get underneath and lift for exposure points in a number of areas. And I just feel like that type of style and body type serves well at freestyle.
Absolutely.
Whereas it's not that it's not bad for folk style, but it doesn't serve you as good as it does in freestyle.
Yes. I mean, the guys that the opposite of that is like a long rangy guy, which, you know, a guy like Seth Groves is making it work, but sometimes, and I would say I'm a little longer, that it plays better to folk style because of the riding aspect. You think how good Seth Groves is on top, and then you can obviously scramble. You don't have to score quick and powerfully on every single thing.
No doubt. No doubt. Hey, I'll tell you one thing that's interesting about Imar.
What's that?
And we kind of skip. Well, I mean, not that we all know he's great, right? And he lost the last year in the NCAA Finals. But what's interesting, Ben, is he lost. This guy wrestled 170 matches in college, and he lost three times.
Yeah, that's freaking
amazing. He's a four-time NCAA finalist. And, you know, because he kind of, you know, lost in a way that maybe nobody would have bet on both times, it's like we're kind of, I don't want to say we're sweeping his college career under the rug because everybody's giving him the respect he deserves, but like, Ben, how many people have that type of win percentage in college wrestling, in the history of college wrestling?
Almost none, but, you know, in addition to losing the last two NCAA finals of his career, which hurts his legacy, absolutely, the other thing that hurts his legacy is the fact that he graduated in the same year as Zane Rutherford and Kyle Snyder.
No doubt.
It kind of
reminds me a little bit of Stephen Abbas with Kale.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Abbas's college career was insane.
He only lost four matches.
How about this? Stephen Abbas never won the Hotch.
Well, Kale was there every year.
I know, he didn't deserve to win it, but we're talking about one of the best college wrestlers ever in Abbas, and Martinez kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah, I mean, so same thing. You're compared against who you graduate with. That's what you're compared against. And, you know, when you have a Kyle Snyder and you have a Zane Rutherford, fair or not fair, it's going to make people think a little less about it. Less of it.
Right. Right, no doubt about it.
Yeah, so fair enough.
So anyways, we shouldn't be that surprised that a four-time finalist who only lost three times in college, that whose body type and style is built for freestyle, got it done at the U.S. Open. And it's not when you look, it's not that crazy to think, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and he smashed everyone. And so it's going to be interesting to see how he matches up. You know, I think there's really no one that's going to stop him from it being him versus Burroughs. It's going to be a really interesting to see how that match plays out because Imar's going to get low, and he's not going to, you know, so the two things Jordan JB can do, he can blast through you better than anyone in the world. He also has great re-attacks, but Imar doesn't attack from space that often, which makes the re-attacks harder. So, you know, I'm picking Burroughs, but I think that's a very interesting matchup.
I think it's a very interesting matchup, and even though the underhook, Imar's underhook is insanely good. It cost him with Vincenzo. But if he can dig hooks with Burroughs, that could manage the match in a way where it makes it interesting. If I'm Imar, I'm digging underhooks hard.
Yes.
But I'm careful to the underhook, and then when I get it, I'm aggressive and vicious with it.
Yes, absolutely. Agreed totally. I'm excited about that one. I'm very excited about that one. That's going to be in Final X in Lincoln, I believe, the first weekend. Okay, yep. Dake Dieringer.
Hey, real quick before we go to Dake and Dieringer.
I think you're saying before we go to commercial.
What do you think is going to happen in we're going to commercial wire.
That was a joke. Go ahead. Keep going.
Okay. Anyways. What do you think is going to happen in 2020? Do you think that Dake and Dieringer are going to go down, up,
I think
both,
Dake's
both
go
down,
down,
both up?
I think that's his only choice.
You think Dake's going to what?
Go down.
I think that he doesn't know. I think that's contingent on the Jordan Burroughs he sees when the Olympic years begins.
Yeah, that's true. Definitely possible.
What do you think Derringer's going to do?
Shoot, he looks big. He might go up. I'm not sure he looks really big.
That means you've talked to him and he's going up.
I have not talked to him. No, I have not. But he does look big.
He does. Anyway, that'll be interesting. All right, go ahead. Let's go to that. Let's go to those two.
Wait, I heard that there's a 74 kg guy in visiting Ohio this week.
Who's that?
Who'd be his 2-1 the bracket?
Imar?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe he's in there training. Who knows?
All right. Sounds
Come
good.
Come on, dude.
Dake Dieringer. Dieringer gets closer than he's ever been before. He got whooped the first time, beat the second time, close the third time. This is the fourth time, and damn, it was close. I do feel like Dieringer exposed, but that was about as close as it gets.
Yeah, I think that the call on the mat should stand.
Yeah, I thought it was the correct
but
call.
But at the same token, Ben, it was so close that it was called the other way. I think the call on the mat should have stood. I hope I'm making sense.
You're saying you could have seen it called what way? Two for Dieringer and one for Dake, or how do you think?
I could have seen it called in favor of Dieringer as well. I think the right call was made.
Well, so it went two and two. It went 2-2.
Right.
Is that how? And that's how you feel it should have been called.
That's how I feel. But all I'm trying to say, it was very, very close.
Sure.
Very close.
Okay, agreed. We get to watch those two most likely again at Final X, unless Zahid Valencia can stop that. Okay, 86 kg. Now, I don't think there's much to talk about here. David Taylor was very dominant in every match, including his final over Richard Perry. You know, if you're looking at the senior rankings, Bo Nickel could show up, and I don't know who else is going to give Magic Man a run for his money, because Sam Brooks is number four. He's not giving a run for his money, and Pat Downey's number five, and Pat Downey didn't even place at this bracket. So,
David Taylor's going to win the world championships.
I could definitely see that happen. All right, David Taylor, world champion, 92 kg. 92 kg, also not very competitive. Now, Jaden doesn't wrestle the same offensive style, but Deron Winn and Hayden Zilmer did not really get close to scoring on him.
No, it's we've seen this before, but it's just surprising that Jaden is okay with winning 3-0, and it feels like if he just decided to, he'd win 10-0.
Totally agree. I don't think he has. You know what? He looks like it's so easy in there. He's a defensive superstar, but you know we've talked about this before. He struggles going and getting points sometimes.
Well, there you go. That's a good point. Yep.
It's a lot more comfortable for him to sit on, you know, sit on defense and just shut people down because he shuts them down.
Right.
These guys didn't get close to scoring on him in 12 minutes of wrestling. They didn't get close.
Right. Right.
Okay. So 897. Austin Schaefer wins. Austin Schaefer was never a Division I All-American.
That's right.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, he's just got to win one more U.S. Open title, and he's tied with me.
Damn, that'd be good. Congrats, Austin Schaefer.
Did you win the Open, Ben? Did you win the Open?
I won it one time, 2008. That was it.
So he's tied with you.
Tied with me. So at this weight class, we got from who was in the rankings. So Gadsden was there. He was number two. Schaefer beat him in the semis. Zilmer went down to 92. Walls was there, but got beat by Schaefer in the finals. Colin Moore was not there. I don't believe Nathan Burek there? Burek was there.
I don't think so.
He took fourth. I also thought he was not there. Yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, frankly, Tommy, if I was adding weight classes and subtracting weight classes, I always thought 213 was not that great of a weight class. And so adding the 202 makes it even worse.
Wow.
Would you know what I'm saying?
Well,
I mean, so essentially between 197 pounds and heavyweight in NCAA Division I college wrestling, you have two weight classes in NCAA Division I college wrestling. A lot of those guys can go 189. A lot of 97s go 189. You can go 202, you can go 213, and you can go 275. So you're going from two weight classes to four weight classes.
That's right. And then on top of that, the best wrestler pound for pound in the world is in the 97 weight class. So
yeah.
You got to go down.
Sure. So, okay, so that's going to be Kyle Snyder at the trials. At Final X. Last weight class, Tommy, and then I'm going to practice right after this. I don't know what you're doing tonight.
No, there you go, brother.
Date with your wife, maybe, or something.
No, I'm gonna go watch my daughter at softball practice.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah,
so I thought heavyweight was actually the most fun weight class of the whole tournament.
It was a lot of fun.
It was good.
I mean, I enjoyed following the whole bracket.
And Gwizdowski's sitting out, but everyone was there. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Man, they were all there.
And Varner, man.
And Varner came out of nowhere. That was wild. I guess he just decided to
hammer
again.
I thought Gable Steveson did very good, and I still have a very high opinion of his future in the short term, not even the long term.
Totally agree. You know, Kuhn kind of made him look not that great, but Kuhn's a beast. I mean, he's really good.
Now, here's the thing, Ben. Here's the thing: I can relate to Gable in a lot of ways, even though I was nowhere near his level as a senior in high school.
Yeah.
But when you wrestle a man that is 40 to 50 pounds bigger than you.
You
got to respect certain positions that you can only learn to respect by getting crushed in them. And I think Gable, he got a nice little lap around the track he just went out and wrestled Kuhn as if they're kind of the same size, and they're not. And but when you look at the when you look at how Gable connected on that shot and penetrated, yep. it's like that's impressive. That is impressive. That is really impressive. And believe it or not, I think he's a I think he's like a good summer away if he wrestles smart from being right there with Kuhn.
Yeah, he can challenge. He can absolutely challenge by 2020. And the other guy that's going to be in the mix, this is crazy to say this, Tommy. I'm going to say it.
I Kirk think Blitt.
He's going to be in the mix by 2020, Tommy. He's only going to be 19 or 20 years old.
No doubt about it.
And
could
it might
not
be
agree
at,
more.
It might be at 213. And he's not going to beat Kyle Snyder. But he's going to be way high up in that bracket, whether it's 2, 3, 4, or 5.
Ben, he's so...
So good.
I want to say this, but I feel like I might eat my words, but there is a part of me that believes that in 2024, he is going to dwarf Gable Steveson in size.
Really? You really think so?
Ben, he has a very beastly but boyish frame.
He looks like a kid still.
Yeah, he's got it's a very like Chippendale dancer type frame. and grown men don't look like that. When he becomes a man, he's going to be 265 pounds.
Okay, so Tommy, he is only actually a cadet. So he's a 17 year old. What birthday? He's a 2001 birthday. So he has to petition in essentially to because this juniors is essentially 18 to 20. He goes 10-0 in 41 seconds, 11-0 in 228, 10-0 in 207, and 10-0 in a minute and 20.
He's going to be 260 pounds in no time, dude. What do you think he weighs now, 220?
Yeah, somewhere in there, 215, 220. He's not that big yet.
He's going to be 260 and just a massive man.
Damn, he's going to, yeah, I mean... I agree. I think he's gonna be there. You know, again, I'm not saying he's gonna win for sure, but he's gonna be challenging those top guys by 2020. He's that good.
Even if it's not 2020, which I agree, I do agree with you. But even if we're wrong by like a year, I mean, he's the few. Him and Gable, that's gonna be incredible.
Yeah, totally agree. Yeah, man, we didn't even really get to hit the juniors in the juniors tournament. We could do another podcast just on the juniors tournament because, man, there were some really good brackets in there, some good stuff to talk about. But I got to run to practice, Tommy. I'm sure you have things to do. That was fun. Talked about the US Open. Next week, we're going to hit this debate, which is going to be fantastic.
It's going to be game on, Ben. It's game on.
Game on
next week.
We don't disagree too much besides Joey McKenna stalling. We're going to disagree some next week.
Yeah, and the thing is, we both got to watch it because I don't want it to look like I don't like freestyle because I do. I just like freestyle more.
Yeah, I get it. And I feel the same way but opposite.
Right.
So, I will talk to you next week. Tommy, have a great night. Thank you, Dahlmer. Thank you, Defense Soap. And thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thank you, brother.
Peace. You are listening to the T-Row and Fungi Show, and it is brought to you by Defense Soap. Defend what you've built. Tommy, I got to say, I tried these products. He shipped me a box. I love them. I've had ringworm issues for a long time. So I'm looking forward to putting these in my repertoire and hoping the ringworm does not come back ever.
No doubt, Ben. And to top that off, the company was created by wrestlers Guy Seiko, wrestled at Cleveland State University. His son was an All-American in Virginia, so these people really get it. They know what the wrestling community needs.